Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live from, what studios are we?
Now hiring Iowa.com.
Thank you very much. That would happen to be Scott sitting across from me. Steen here.
Scooty here.
You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on, I'll say Twitter today, just to be nice, at 1700
really?
The Champ. At happy hour underscore SS, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. Huge game tonight. Florida, Utah, we have your 6:30 pregame and the game live right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. One of our way too many to even talk about football games that are going to be on this station. So pretty excited about that. As always, want to thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broadlawns Medical Center for being a part of our show. We'll talk more about our sponsors as we move along. Breath. There we go.
Yeah, I believe the phrase is coming in hot.
Coming in
I'm
hot.
I'm usually doing that. It was even end of the month for me, and I beat you here. So
it was one of those busy days. Man.
Getting things checked off the list.
We did. So that's good. All good with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you got going on this weekend?
Little to nothing. Camper time, something on the smoker, and football.
And kicking it off with tonight. That's awesome.
With I'm probably sprinkling a little MLB as well, but
keep an eye on your cubbies.
Looking forward to we got 11 o'clock game on Saturday and a 1 o'clock game on Saturday for you and I, Iowa State, and then Iowa and I just went blank. Utah State.
Yes, Utah plays Floridian tonight.
That is correct. But no, all the talk again. We are on such a tidal wave of speculation, starting with Iowa City, okay, and Cade McNamara, and it's all right. He obviously there's a tweet out there. He's dressed in his uniform, saying to paraphrase something to the extent of it took a long time to get here, or now is time, or whatever, with all these different things. And then the surge of okay, is he going to play two series? Will he play two series if they score? Are they dangling it out there and Deacon's going to come trotting out on the field to start? I mean, should it be, okay, if he scores and it's 17 to nothing, or it better be 21 to nothing, to be honest with you, 21 to nothing at the half, then he sits down for the second half. Will he even make it to the second quarter?
Iowa fans wouldn't know what to do if they were up 21 nothing right away. That would be awesome for the fans because they were lucky when they got to 21 last year.
I heard a stat, and I've heard it a couple times a day, but there has not been a passing touchdown in the first quarter in the Kurt Ferentz era on an opening day game.
Wow.
I think I see that getting busted, you know, Saturday, but I just, again, it is just this bubble that needs to be burst of what should it be? What can it be? What if it isn't? You know, all these different things. I mean, it's like everybody's standing on the edge of the cliff because right now it's a great view. If things don't go right, well, you're still standing on the edge of a cliff. You got choices.
And if you lean forward, you're not going to be happy.
So I am ready for that whistle, that gun, that let's get this thing started, starting with tonight.
I am too. It's going to be an exciting college football year. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises. I had in a typical year, the 25 teams that get picked in preseason to finish in the top 25.
Yes.
There's usually 6 to 12 that don't make it. That'll be kind of interesting today if we kind of go through and look at some of those top 25s.
I was going to say, isn't Iowa sitting at 25?
In some. Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact that they are right there, number one, that says a huge amount that their defense is still their defense.
Right.
And with that defense, they were able to pull out what they did last year. Now, with this glint of hope at quarterback.
Right. I just think they have somebody that at quarterback who doesn't have happy feet, has a strong arm, and can use some of the weapons they have, because they have weapons. They had weapons last year. I mean, that has never been the issue, has been weapons. The last few years, it's been somebody with enough confidence. And I'm not saying if that was the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, the coach, but you have to have confidence in your offense,
right,
to go out and do what they're supposed to do. You can't, I'm sorry, and people may disagree with me, and I'm saying the same thing with Iowa State too. You cannot win consistently, get to 8, 9, 10 wins if you're in college football, if you're depending on your defense to get you there. It's just not going to happen.
It should set you up, but I mean, yeah. it right.
You've got to be able
set
to
you
score.
Up, but you, yeah, exactly. You got to put points.
Yep. So the over under tonight in that Florida Utah game is 44.5.
Where are you looking?
ESPN.
ESPN. Da, 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 Florida. It's 44.5. Yep. The Utes are favored by five.
See, isn't that funny though? 44.5, and they're favored by five. So that's like 25-20. I'm thinking it's going to be a higher scoring game than that.
I don't. I was getting grilled at work about it. I think it's going to be.
I know it's the first game.
I said 21-17, and I say Florida.
Really? I don't know how good Florida is. I know they have talent.
Okay.
I know they don't have coaching. It's just another one of those squads that I think their press clippings over the last 5 years are better than their team is, because who doesn't love a good, a good Florida team, I mean, college football is better when Florida and Florida State are good, and they haven't been right. good. I mean, Florida, Billy Napier,
Florida and Utah, that's, but we should be actually kind of dialing in a little more on this Nebraska, Minnesota game.
Well, that's a huge game for
Nebraska, for Coach Rhule.
I mean, where's it at?
The Minnesota's 7.5-point favorite. I think Nebraska's gonna cover that all day long. 42.5 points.
Really? Where's the game at?
I think it's in Minnesota, to be honest with you. I didn't have that in front of me. But Matt Rhule, I think he's got a history of doing the right things, so I mean, he should have the resources and facilities over there to do something. But I'm not taking anything away from Minnesota. Minnesota's been right there, at it for a long time.
Well, and that's one of those that in the games in Minnesota, the game being in Minnesota would lead me to take Minnesota in that game. But I was one of those people that said if Nebraska would have hired Matt Rhule when they had the chance. And I know they had ties to Scott Frost, and I get all that. It's hard. It's hard to come back and be that guy when your team is not that team.
Right.
I mean, there's still people that are living and dying from 1970, 76 to 86. And that was a long time. Trust me. I know it's a long time ago. Cause that's do you remember that? I mean, you weren't very old.
Yeah, I remember.
Nebraska, Oklahoma, man, those were big games.
Right.
Big games.
You can tell the fan base is there. In the last 24 hours, you can really tell the fan base is still there. They want something to cheer about in that stadium.
I agree with that.
Did you see the aerial photos of the volleyball game?
Yeah, it was amazing. And I like the shirts that are out there, and it's from Cyclone Hulk. And I don't want to give them a disservice of not saying
92,000 people.
92,300.
No, 92,300 is the number I saw for a collegiate women's volleyball game. The other one was the last collegiate women's, it was like 16,700 or whatever. They beat them. This beat all records. The second thing that they beat was, it was a Barcelona, what was it, Wolfsburg or whatever? It was a soccer match, FC Barcelona, and it was 91,000 like a year ago, and they beat it by 1,000.
Yep. So the shirts that are out there, and it's from Three Beards Media, and Cyclone Hulk is the guy that runs that, and he does this stuff. And it says, not lady sports. said one of the biggest thing in ladies sports. How about you just say biggest thing in sports, one of the biggest crowds in sports history. But they had to, you know, we're that's one of our, it's not always about just ladies sports, ESPN sometimes.
Women's sports.
Yeah.
Well, and it is interesting.
It's just
because
sports. They had a sports night.
Right. Well, and the thing that it was funny, for all things, there had to be an article that popped up, and it was Caitlin Clark's response to the crowd. And it was a one where it was, sheesh, you know, I mean, it was that type of deal. But it also goes into Magic Johnson. It was this is wonderful for women's sports. This is wonderful for I mean, to get that much buzz around it, and the clamoring for more. This is huge. I mean, this is, and for them to do this first, they're going to do the same thing over at Kinnick.
Right. They're going to sell it out. They just don't. I mean,
they don't have the capacity.
That's the thing
do.
That we forget about, right?
Right.
How big Nebraska Stadium is.
Right.
Huge. I mean, we said yesterday, Iowa's is 65. Jack Trice is.
I thought it was 61 to 60. Yeah, 60, 60,
we
yeah.
We're 61. They're 65.
Right. Right.
Right
ish,
around.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. 90. I mean, that's the big house. That's Michigan. That's Wisconsin.
That's,
you know, they're getting,
but that is, even though it was what, 70s, early 80s, that is what national championship money will get you.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, it was exciting. And here's, as I scroll down, here's one of the things, and I wanted to get your take on this today. I see Friday, September 1st football in college.
Mm-hmm.
I like Fridays for high school kids. I get it.
We've talked about this.
You want to take another day.
It's not the fact that we're taking another day away. It's the fact that it is so accessible.
No, I'm not saying that but you're not going to see college football played on Sundays. They're not going to compete against the NFL. Competing against high school football is not a big deal. Who's going to yell at them?
Right.
Well, I would like to keep Friday nights, except for that Thanksgiving Friday. I get that one. I like that. I like Black Friday.
We were wrong, by the way. Kinnick currently is 69-2.
Okay, 69-2 and 60. So
I thought it was 65 was Jack Trice. But anyway, no, I mean, looking at it, we've got just week one here, college football. I was looking at the lines. There's 1, 2, 3. There's 4 games tonight that I'm looking at. There's 1, 2, 3, 4.
61-5.
There's four games Friday. The accessibility via apps and phones and tablets and all these different things to stream games, they can put these things anywhere because they know that no matter what, if you're going to go to your son's football game or the volleyball game, or you've got to work later, all these different things, they can put the games anywhere they want. People are still going to watch, and they're still going to pay for the app, and they're still going to get their revenue. Because that's what we've been talking about for how long, is revenue.
I get it. And that's the key, right? In order to survive, you have to have the revenue to do it.
Right.
And that is, it's really funny. That's where we're at. And that's what's going to change college football. And the only thing that had to be done over the last 15 years was for the NCAA to realize that intercollegiate sports we're going to get bigger, 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 and to get out in front of it and to figure out how to steer where they wanted to go. That's why I say that NCAA is their time is past. They can't stay ahead of a curve. They can't stay ahead of anything.
Right.
And I'm not in any sport, even in Olympic sports. They are so far behind in going out and promoting and doing Olympic sports, how big Olympic sports are getting.
Yeah.
You could get... And I'm telling you, you could even get it in this state, in the cold, you could get 35,000 people to go outside and sit in one of the stadiums and watch an Iowa State, Iowa wrestling meet. You would get people to go do it. And are you and I, Iowa, you would get them.
I agree.
You would get them to go do it. And don't think that putting a tri meet between Stanford and Georgia and Florida in women's gymnastics or Carolina,
right.
Whoever.
Exactly.
I mean, it's they're missing all of these opportunities to get out there and try to enhance the sporting events. And they're what's happening is they're leaving it to everybody else, and then crying wolf, trying to have somebody help them. And it just irritates me that they do that. But the great thing is, I don't think anybody in Congress is going to help them. You can't go to a court, because the minute they step in and they go to a court, it's going to the Supreme Court, and all these guys and gals are going to be employees. And man, does the NCAA not want that, because then they lose all their power. They're done. They have no power.
Plus, no power. Plus, that's a whole different pot of money that needs to be spread out.
Goodness gracious, that's a crazy thing. And don't think that it's that far away. And you know, I saw two more articles come out about going to two major conferences and having 50 teams. And you know, when you start getting down to the last 10 teams, and they said, well, Iowa State's going to be out. And then somebody said, well, what about basketball? And they go, well, we're counting basketball too. And they're like, if you're counting basketball, there's no way in the world that Iowa State, with their football and basketball programs, are going to be out of a mega conference.
Right.
It's not going to happen. But if you went football only, you and I had this discussion.
Depending on the year.
Yeah. Depending on the year. It can happen. It cannot happen. So there's just a lot of stuff going on, but I'm glad football is back.
Well, it's
so much easier.
We've got opinions of what it is. We've got expectations, and like I said, there's a tidal wave of what we're gonna see. Because I mean, there's some really unwritten stories right now that we think we know the direction of it, but from quarterbacks to offensive lines in this state, I want to see what you're telling me we're going to see.
So bad. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Today, you're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at @ScottBrower_13, @HappyHour_SS, @1700TheChamp, and @SteenOnSports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Tonight, you're going to get Florida, Utah. Big, 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 big game. Can't wait. We're going to talk about that a little bit here in a sec. Then you get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Twins and Rangers. Monday, Tuesday, Twins and Rays. You got the first read, buddy.
Northwest Bank, commitment you can bank on, taking care of your business. Personal, agricultural, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out the Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online to various types of loans, from vehicle loans to mortgage. It all starts here. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog for their business insider. Simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on. Member FDIC.
So this came up today, and it got down to these two. And I think this is really, I know which way I'm leaning, but I wanted to see where you were leaning to. It was the finalists for the most exciting player in modern Iowa Hawkeye football. Just history, modern football history. So 1960.
I can go back to the 80s, right?
Yeah, okay. 80s are good. If you had to put somebody on there, I mean, these are the last two that were left. Who would you have said? I probably had Chuck Long ahead of some other people, but these two I can't really argue with.
Wow. Chuck Long, Ronnie Harmon. Go.
There's so many. I can't remember all of them either. They had their final two. They had was Bob Sanders and Tim Dwight.
Ooh,
and I'm
Timmy
not.
He was so fun.
Yeah, I'm as much as I love Bob Sanders and what he did in the NFL as well. I still think Tim Dwight's the most exciting player we've ever had.
Tim Dwight was the. My God, was he fast. I remember a buddy of mine from Northeast Iowa, because I forget where Timmy went to school or whatever, but ran against him in track.
I think he went to Iowa City High.
Okay, I believe so too. But I know it was the East Side. And the buddy of mine ran track, and it was in a relay, and he took off, and all he heard was, and it was the feet going up and down, and he went past me. He had the lead. in the relay, he said he passed me like I was standing still. I mean, it was just a flash, but that guy could pick him up and put him down.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get hit by Bob Sanders either.
No.
I thought that was a pretty good finalist on there. The finalist for Iowa State. There are two.
Seneca Wallace.
Is one.
Alan Lazard.
Nope. Troy Davis.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
And it was, see, now I would have had a hard time because Darren Davis was really good, too. So I would have split the Davis.
But Troy would, no. Darren was okay. Troy was phenomenal.
Yep.
Troy was the epitome of, oh, my Lord, this guy got 2,000 yards, but you didn't win.
No, he had 2,000 yards, and I don't think he had anybody blocking either. It was amazing what he did.
And, but it was an honor to be in the running for the Heisman, but it just, you can't.
Do it without
winning. Right.
It's hard to do. It is.
To me, that was such a, to look at that, it just mirrored Barry Sanders, you know? I mean, all those years of the things that he did of being a Detroit Lion, but it one stat does not make you Super Bowl champions.
No.
You have to be part of the package.
Yeah. Never had a quarterback.
Right.
That's killer. Especially in the NFL, that's you can't do anything in the NFL if you don't have a good quarterback. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens won a Super Bowl without a quarterback, but you can't do that. Very, very
don't,
often.
Don't tell Trent Dilfer that.
Yeah.
He's got a ring. Dan Marino doesn't.
Yeah, no, Trent Dilfer has a couple of rings,
right.
which is crazy. I definitely would, I would take Seneca Wallace there too. Seneca Wallace was must-see TV.
Seneca Wallace. I mean, from
and still a huge.
From going to Arrowhead and watching the Florida State game, by the way, he was in on that play. Yep. He was in.
I agree.
The run up at Jack Trice. I mean, but he just was. I remember running into him at the bowling alley up in Ames, and he was there with, I don't remember if it was a lineman or whatever, but it was he and another guy and then a couple, three girls or whatever. And I brought over a pitcher and I said, I meant to set this at my table, and just kind of smiled. And he was like, cool with it or whatever. And I happened to have wearing an Iowa State, and he signed my Iowa State t-shirt, and I still have it that he signed. I was not in college. Obviously, I was older than that at the time. So he's like, you know, the creepy old drunk guy's trying to get my autograph. But, oh, what the heck? He bought us a beer. So
this is a plug just because we want to plug, because we want to get her on the show. And she's coming on the show.
Who's coming on the show?
So at some point in time, Steph Copley. She's going to come on the show. Did I tell you my Iowa State?
Yes.
Iowa State Fair. I sitting there randomly at the
weird, right? When you're out there seven of the 11 days that you randomly run into, I don't know, a million
people.
And
we just start talking and go, yeah, you're in radio. Yeah. Well, you might know my, what would it be? They were her aunt and uncle.
Right.
And Steph Copley. I'm like, yeah, I know who Steph Copley is.
Everyone.
She said this one today. I was trying to remember it. She goes, roses are red, violets are blue. We're not lady anything. It's just clones and hawks to you, because they're doing these not lady sports t-shirts and stuff for the We Will Collective for Iowa State. And the Hawkeyes are doing one for the Hawkeye ones as well. So pretty cool stuff. But
I took a minute and I prepared a gift for you.
Oh,
okay.
I like that.
FBS. Football Bowl Subdivision.
Yep.
That is the highest level.
Yep.
Okay. FCS.
Football
Championship Division.
Which is you and I, South Dakota State.
FCS up until 2006 was named Division 1A and Division 2A.
Right.
Okay. So the big difference between the, and this is what caught my eye on this. So in FBS, right, 131 schools, they are allowed 85 scholarships. Okay. The other one is there's 130 FCS teams. They're allowed 63 scholarships.
It's a lot.
But with that, with the FCS, you can take those 63, you can split 10 of them and make 20 half scholarships.
Right.
So you can
50-50.
Right. You can split them out. And so you can give partials or whatever to still do what you're going to do. Obviously, the other difference is it's the FBS is based on the – what is it, the CFB, where we have the we do have a playoff, but the playoff division for FCS starts with, what is it, 24 teams? Right. I mean, it's a
round robin.
It's a big.
And everybody likes that
right.
as well. So that's.
But yeah, so it's B is, we could say B is bigger, if
bigger,
you will,
you
because
go.
they have more scholarships. But that we always go back and forth and pause and say, what is FBS compared to FCS? But FBS is the big boys. FCS is less scholarships.
So I have a big one, too, because I had this one sent to me. I'm going to give credit for where credit is due. Keith Murphy had this on there first, and then somebody saw it and sent it. So I don't think Keith would mind. But the attorney for Yuma Uzerki, it would have to be him, and I just mangled
right.
his name. But for Iowa State, his attorney filed a motion today to dismiss charges against him. One part that's interesting goes to the why. The trial information does not list a complaining party, and as such, it can only be assumed the state is the complaining party.
Correct.
The question becomes, why would the state investigate the defendant and other D1 athletes from Iowa and Iowa State, wherein it appears only males associated with football, baseball, wrestling, and basketball were targeted, even though many more people were implicated? Note, to the best of undersigned's knowledge, 9 student athletes have been indicted pursuant to trial information so far in Johnson and Story County. Another factor to note is that it appears the state cannot even agree on whether identity theft applies. Presently, 7 student athletes have been indicted for tampering with records in Johnson County, with none of them being indicted for identity theft, while 2 indicated in Story County are facing both charges. One has to ask, was this investigation really instituted to protect the innocent of our young men and women or to protect the integrity of online gambling? Or is there another reason at play, such as protecting the in-state income of our local casinos? That's what their thing was today.
Yeah.
They're going to win. The players are going to win.
Oh, I know. It's because it's not the fact that it is targeted. Is that
really
is
bad.
The biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it is Division I athletes, names, guy. I mean, the fact that it is that fish in a barrel type scenario,
yep.
That is going to be the
and
big thing.
And if you were doing Division I athletes, then there should have been investigations at UNI and Drake, because at least half of their sports are Division I sports.
Right.
And it didn't happen. And that is... that's something that's going to be hard for them to do, is to say why the wiretapping, why the cell
the geofencing,
yeah, the why the geofencing and why the cell tapping to figure out
right.
and was that really who, and that's the one thing they want, who told DCI to investigate? They have to have somebody tell them. They just don't open up an investigation on their
okay
own.
And
it's
and
interesting.
Here's the other thing is. Because when the app first came out, there had to be an association with a casino,
yes.
correct?
Yep.
And that seemed to make everybody happy, because you had to go in for the first time, and then you were associated with a casino when you had your app. Then it became, nope, just go ahead and download
yep.
the app and go.
Now, the only thing that's...
Is it really that big? I mean, are they not getting sportsbook money that they because of the apps, and would that be legitimate?
I don't know. I you know what? I don't know enough. I mean, I love to bet on my app, but I don't do it constantly.
But
I mean, I don't
we,
know
we,
any.
We are so geofenced that if I drive over, if I'm heading down to Missouri, it shuts it off.
My headlight gets
feet,
there.
Feet touch the other side, and it shuts it off.
It's
so
off.
That means that any wagering, and there's still revenue from it, but is it not going through the local casinos? Therefore, they think they're. I mean.
See, that's what my thing is, too.
What?
Are the local casinos mad because of DraftKings and FanDuel?
I know. I mean,
because if I'm looking at this, and I keep calling them young kids. They're not young adults in comparison to us. But I think 23, 25, and 27, they're not associated with a casino. They are either right. FanDuel or DraftKings. That's what they do.
Did somebody see the pie is X hundred million or whatever it is on sports wagering, sportsbook wagering. And they're realizing that their slice of that pie in the actual walk-in sportsbook at the casinos is a sliver compared to what people are betting on the apps.
Yeah, I don't know. And here's the other thing, and this is interesting too, is it's no different than if he would say, or Hunter Deckers would say, listen, I had the app on my phone. I didn't make those bets. Maybe my roommate made those bets. Maybe my mom and dad made the bets. I don't know, but I didn't make the bets. How are they going to prove that Hunter Deckers was the one that made the bets? It doesn't face ID you to get into your BetMGM account.
Well, it's a pass.
It has a pass, but on mine it doesn't. All I do, since I've signed on, all I do is hit it, and I'm right on there.
Not my two. My two you have to do. One is a face app, and one is a you have to put a code in every time. I'm not to say, but I mean it's the same thing as when you go through a speed camera, the ticket goes to the vehicle.
Right.
I don't care who's driving the car. So what are we going to do? The ticket goes to the owner of the phone?
Yeah,
type of thing, like a speed camera? Okay, well, phone's my parents. You can't get me.
And have you noticed?
It's registered to my parents.
I don't get notifications for speed camera stuff anymore either, because I think they're going, you know, we collected a lot of money on these, and we know that as soon as this goes to a higher court, we're not going to make any money on this.
No, trust me. I can tell you, because of some of the employees, which cameras are still very, very functional and what trips them off. Yeah,
I because it is like Daytona 500 on I-235.
Yeah,
I
mean, you got to be going east. You don't go east.
Well, I do go east.
Okay, but anyway, it is interesting to see how this is playing out. And I mean, you give it to legal counsel. They went, wait a minute. Okay, yeah, this is everybody's. Oh man, these athletes, were they throwing games, all these different things? And they're like, wait a minute. Why are we only going after these athletes?
Right.
Who's the
party that was wronged here? I mean, even if they were betting and they were using somebody else's name or whatever, the casinos were still getting, or the betting apps were still getting money. They weren't deceiving them.
Right.
I mean, there wasn't, if they learned how to fake money and do it, then they're, I give them kudos for being really, really smart.
It's losing its targeting of this.
Right, I agree with that, and it came at an opportune time. You know, right when there was nothing else to talk about. Well, let's throw this out there. You know, and people this is what I thought when I first read it. Well, people are going to believe us. Guess what? People don't believe stuff like that anymore.
And the fact that it was on the heels of the, what was it, Arizona baseball? No, yeah. Arkansas baseball.
Right. Yeah.
But that was, you don't bet 10 grand on a Tuesday night nothing game.
Right.
I mean, that one popped up, and then it was on the heels of that. So we're like, oh.
There it is.
There it is.
Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Scott and I'll be back right after this break. Maddie Nelson coming up at 5 o'clock. Talking Iowa State Cyclones with Scotty and I. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We're bringing your sports your way every day. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and Happy Hour underscore SS. Tonight you get Florida, Utah. If you can't see it, you can listen to it. One of over 100 football games that are going to be on this radio station over the next 6 months, 5 months,
I think it actually goes
four and a half, 5 months.
October, November, December.
There we go.
Four and a half.
You're going to get Twins, Texas Rangers on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Twins Rays on Monday, Tuesday. This segment is going to be brought to you by Broadlawns Medical Center. All the fun things that are happening at Broadlawns. We're in our infancy of getting acclimated with them acclimated with us, going through talking about all kinds of things they have going on. We're supposed to be getting I'm going to be very angry at my youngest if we don't get talking points. We're looking for talking points. So
I'm sure, young man in marketing is working right on.
He is a busy beaver right now. So all the things going on, the new medical center going in the Drake neighborhood, the brain and memory center coming along, which is a kind of a real big one for me because of of my just family members and my father having Alzheimer's when he passed away, and I'm looking, you know, it's one of those things that you know, it couldn't save my father, it couldn't save some of the people, but it could save the next generation. That's me. It could save the next generation. That's my boys. And it could save their generation, which will be their kids as well. So it's a big deal. And so we are happy to be in team with Broadlawn's Medical Center. So happy that we are doing that. Okay. You have something. Hit me.
No, I just, it was, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I just want to make sure we go through CIML. Okay. Central Iowa Metro League. So let's pop off a few of these games here that we've got coming up for tomorrow night. First one, Ankeny Centennial at Ames.
Wow.
I mean,
I think that's an Ankeny Centennial win.
Yes.
But I think Ames can stay close. Would be my thought process.
Is ahead, and I don't have in front of me the, because we had the rankings we went through before. All right, so you're, I would say as well, I would lean towards Ankeny Centennial. Ames lost last week, correct?
Yes, I do believe so.
And so I believe Ames will make it a game. I'd hate to see them go 0-2, but I think Centennial is going to be Centennial and do what they do.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's see here.
Next one.
If we go, I've got register here.
All right. So the next one is Southeast Polk at Ankeny High. So Ankeny Hawks. Where are you going?
That's going to be a really good game.
It's going to be. These are all great games, man.
Yeah. That. They both had tough games.
Yes, they did.
I'm hard pressed. The fact that it's at Ankeny, but I'm hard pressed to bet against Southeast Polk. That would be my bet. But the fact that it's in Ankeny, that's a tough place.
That's my
to
thing.
Play.
There is it's at Ankeny, and that's what kind of makes me go. I'm probably going to go Ankeny on that one, because what was Ames lost to Waukee 35-7. So that not that I'm worried about what Ames has performing, but
Ankeny's number three, Southeast Polk's number two, Dowling's number one.
Right.
It's going to be that's going to be interesting.
So, so you're going Southeast Polk, I'm going Ankeny.
Yep.
All right. Next one is going to be Dowling versus Valley.
Right.
Week. Well, second.
Yep. Second week.
Second week.
Valley had a hard time stopping Southeast Polk's running game. That's going to be very difficult to stop Dowling's running game as well.
But remember, even with their first loss and being 0-1, Valley is still ranked sixth in the state.
Oh yeah.
So there's expectation.
I mean, that's a game, and it was at Southeast Polk. No, that was at Valley. That was a Valley home game.
Right.
I take that back, because Southeast Polk. Here's the funny thing. I saw this today. Southeast Polk. So if you paid
24-18
in their new stadium. They have seat backs that you can purchase, so you have your own seat.
That's pretty darn cool.
That's how high.
You know what that's called? Generating revenue.
There you go. That's a really, really good. Okay, so your next one's got to be.
We used to sell candy bars trying to get jerseys.
Oh, I know. I think the biggest game of the week has to be your next one. Has to be Waukee Northwest.
Waukee Northwest. Absolutely.
That's a huge game.
At Waukee Northwest.
Right. I think Waukee wins that game, but that's a big game. It's the first time they've played, so they've been separated for.
So you're going
this
Warriors?
This is their third year.
Okay.
And they have not played the first 2 years. That's interesting.
I man.
Who did you take, Dowling Valley?
I gotta go Dowling.
Yeah, I just think they're gonna have a tough time.
But now you start talking about it, the odds of Valley going 0-2.
Well, it's,
I mean that yeah.
I think they're going to go 0-2, and I still think they're going to make the football playoffs. But it makes it a lot harder.
Right. Oh, yeah. But then again, it says something to the caliber of these games.
Oh yeah, the top five teams in the state right now, and if you I'm sorry, but I'm going to throw Valley in there as well. West Des Moines, Dowling, Southeast Polk, Ankeny, Johnston, Waukee Valley. I'm Lynn Mars there. I have a hard time. The team's on the other side of the state. I have a hard time. I mean, tell me the last time a team from that side of the state won a football game in a championship.
Right.
It's been a long time.
All right, so let me ask you this. So last week, Johnston beat Waukee Northwest 23-17. Waukee beat Ames 35-7. So you're going Waukee or Waukee Northwest for the victor?
Waukee.
Okay.
I think Waukee has the better football program. Not football program. They have the better football team this year. I think Waukee Northwest is very, very, very young. And I wouldn't want to play him at the end of the year. If you're playing him,
exactly.
I'd play him now.
I agree with you. We've got Johnston versus Cedar Falls at the Uni Dome.
That's a tough place to play. But Johnston's a way better team. And this is Cedar Falls isn't down very often. But, I mean, they receive votes. But they are not they are not the football team that they were for the last 3 or 4 years.
And then lastly, one I got on my list is Iowa City West at Urbandale.
That's an easy – I feel bad for Urbandale, and I apologize, but that's a win for Iowa City West, probably going away. And I feel bad. And people asked – somebody asked me at work, why do you feel bad for Urbandale? I'm like, the way the city has drawn their districts has hurt Urbandale. It's hurt them in their class numbers, and it's hurt them in their athletics because they've condensed what they consider to be theirs, and doing so through Waukee and Johnston and all of them on top of them, you know. And so you're picking them out. All the newer neighborhoods are going somewhere else, and I feel bad for them.
Well, older neighborhoods don't necessarily have your
young kids.
Your kids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, from elementary to high school, your older neighborhoods are established. It's different. So
my neighborhood over on John Patterson.
Yes.
I mean, there are the only kids that are there now are infant kids. They're infant kids there. I mean, the whole demographic of my neighborhood has changed. It's hilarious. And I think the reason is it's in that particular neighborhood that we're in by Grandview Golf Course, easy to get everywhere and quiet.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think young couples like
beautiful
that.
Old neighborhood.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, very much so. Okay, so I have one for you here. The Iowa State captains for the year. I thought this was interesting.
Isn't that interesting that they do it's captains for the year at Iowa State?
Yep.
They do it per game at Iowa.
Yep. It's for the year. It's
three seniors, two juniors.
Yep. Jalen Noel, wide receiver. Ben Nickel is an outside backer or defensive back. Jerry Vaughn, a linebacker, Easton Dean, a tight end, and Bo Freiler, a corner. All their good players.
That's their top five players.
There's a couple of running backs that could be there as well, but that's a good group. That's a good group of leaders. Well,
interesting. And that's what your team votes for.
And we're gonna ask Matty Nelson. He's coming up. We might as well ask him Cyclone questions. You know,
that's what we do.
Or corn, one or the other.
Don't bring up the drought.
He doesn't like that. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Matty Nelson, wide right, Natty Light next. Everybody, happy Thursday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live from 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter. It's at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Happy Hour underscore SS, and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. We get Florida, Utah on the radio tonight, 6:30 pregame. You get about 20 minutes of Zach Gelb before then. Twins got the Rangers Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the Rays Monday, Tuesday. It's got to be getting close to football season because this guy is coming on the radio. It is Matt Nelson. He is at @MNelson_ISU. Maddie, how are you?
I am great, sir. How are you?
We are lovely. Very excited
to football, ready to roll.
Very excited to talk to you.
Oh, baby.
We're going to take the first 2 minutes, though. I follow you. We follow you on social media. And as it stands right now, corn crop in Iowa is what to Matt Nelson?
It is hurting, unfortunately. Weather has not really cooperated this year, fellas. The moisture has stayed away for long portions of the year, and it's pretty easy to see, right? For those of you who don't maybe farm, look around at all the grass you see at parks, roadsides, maybe even your own lot. We got rain in June, but then went most of July without getting rain, and again, most of August. So that heat last week was really hard on the crops, and I think the heat we'll get here the next 6 days will probably finish quite a bit of this crop off and cause it to be ready for harvest a little prematurely. So not that it's going to go to zero, but it's definitely going to impact yield in a pretty negative way.
Right before the fair, we had some beautiful days. We did get some rain, but was that too little too late, or did that at least help a little bit?
Yeah, it definitely helped a little bit, and there have been some areas where they've picked up some patchy rainfall as well. But, you know, for corn, July is really the critical month, and for soybeans, it's August. And there's been stretches in both of those months where we've gone 3 or 4 weeks without moisture, and more of the issue was that we were dry going into those months. We didn't have any in the soil that those crops could access. So I think yields will be similar to last year, but probably a touch worse for most of my area.
All right. With that being said, obviously driving around looking at these fields, you've had a lot of windshield time, so you have every game figured out for the Iowa State Cyclones, correct?
For the entire gambling slate for this weekend, for the Cyclones, you name it. Yeah, a lot of podcast time in my job.
Wow, there you go. Hey, before we get into football and do this, I wanted to get – so with all the stuff with Cytown and finally starting to see pieces of it come together, how they've made some changes in the lots, and instead of straight-in parking, you get triangular parking, how they angled parking – your thought process on Cytown and Jamie Pollard and his job in doing so.
Yeah, it looks great. You'll see lots of construction going on kind of in that middle section that's been blocked off. The half of the lots that they redid are repaved. They look nice. They're a little smaller, but there should be better access. Fire-wise, the lots are in much better shape. And, with moving the RVs, right, that took up a lot of parking. There's now the lot right across from the bridge as well. There are some people that will be moved to B1, which is north of C.Y. Stevens, north of Sheeman. Obviously, that's not as ideal, but there were a lot of extra spaces before. And the way I see it, if you're just driving to the game to meet up with somebody who is tailgating somewhere else, that's still a good spot to park. And, you know, even if you still want to tailgate, that's probably closer to the stadium than some of those other further away lots. That you'll find. So it'll definitely change, but I think it may be a little painful for some until they can see, you know, that vision of Cytown fulfilled. But I think using that for what they intend to make money for athletics and the university is a lot better than just a bare pavement parking lot.
Yeah, I think he pretty. I mean, he's been a visionary since he's been there, but he's kind of upped his game a little bit on this one, and. It's kind of cool. I mean, you and I can remember talking to you 5 years ago, and we both said, you know what, in Jamie we trust, and I think he's earned that trust.
No, I would tend to agree. I think he's earned that from us, maybe not unilaterally. You can never do that to any coach or any person in authority, but I really believe in his vision, and it's hard not to.
So when we get ready, and once again we're talking to Matt Nelson. He is at @MNelson_ISU. On Twitter. When we look forward to this game this week, I'm freaking Scott out because I'm not worried. I actually think that with new coaching staff and actually having a special teams person and a lot of different things, I think even though we're young, I think we're going to see a different football team. That doesn't mean we're going to win 9 games, but I think we're going to surprise people on what we run on offense, and always know that we still have John Heacock, and that matters.
No, totally agree. Yeah, you know, oh, they have the best NFL quarterback in the state. We won't, you know, whatever. To be honest, I care much less about what you and I is going to do, what to expect from them, how much Ryan Clanton's going to provide in terms of insight, whatever, right? This is about Iowa State improving across the offensive line, about that defense still having some continuity and being able to play the way that we're used to. And it's about seeing how Iowa State's progressed. I know you've got two new quarterbacks, but all throughout last season we saw too many errors, Dean. Too many penalties, too many small mistakes, dropped passes, drives that moved well from the third 25 to the 40 and then stalled. So it'll be a good chance to see. And it's game one, right? If it looks a little bit rougher, fans certainly shouldn't put a referendum on the first game of the season. But I'm really looking forward to see, you know, does it look more cohesive? Can they clean up some of those mistakes?
And how good a play caller and things can Nate Shieldhouse be? I think that's huge.
Very much so. With, you know, new running backs, as many as five playing, some familiar faces at receiver, some new young tight ends they really like. I'm very interested to see what that offense looks like. I assume it will look similar, but there'll be some nuances and differences for sure. That's inevitable when you bring in a new coordinator.
And what I like the most about our offensive line coach, Scott and I have talked about this, and he came out when he was walking with John Walters, and he said, I told my offensive lineman, quit thinking and just punish people. I'm in, Maddie. That's what I want my offensive line.
His phrase was, be violent.
Be violent.
And that is intriguing.
I like that.
Violent sounds great to me when it comes to offensive line, right? I mean, that's something that has been missing. And I just feel like a lot of offensive line is about attitude, size, attitude. And it seems like this new coach has it, and I'm hoping his players have picked that up as well.
One of the biggest things that we're looking at, and this year we're looking because we have BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, Houston, new places coming in, new places to go, and then we add Arizona, Arizona State, and Colorado. What's your thought process on what Brett Yormark's done and where the Big 12 is headed?
Really appreciate it, right? It's not like it's fixed and all of a sudden they're better than the Big 10, but they exist, and I think in Utah, for a lot of those Texas schools, there's really good connections to them in Arizona, just geographically. Obviously, Colorado has played up with a lot of these schools before. I think it's a good step in the direction for where I see this ultimately going, which is maybe two big leagues and everyone playing, shocker, geographically close opponents in almost like a division within a conference style. And I see that as maybe a Fox division and an ESPN division, if you want to think about it that way. So I think this is a good step to unify kind of these teams, and it was one that they needed to do if they wanted to stick around, you know, past this next 5 years. Because this, all of this is temporary. It's all dumb, in my opinion. Like, Big Ten, what are you doing? Adding in all these West Coast schools. You know, UCLA, have fun taking your softball team to College Park, Maryland on a Tuesday. But it's all temporary. This will all be renegotiated here in 5 years.
And it will be. And it will be ESPN, and it will be Fox, and then there'll be a third. I don't know if that's going to be Apple. I don't know if that's going to be Amazon. And the thing is, we almost have to throw ESPN out the window, too, because that's going to either be Amazon or it's going to be Apple.
Right.
It's going to buy ESPN, so that's going to be the second. So you're going to have Fox, who's done it the right way throughout the whole. Maybe people didn't think so, but they've actually done a better job at, you know, keeping expenditures and everything, you know, not just going out and spending money wildly that cost ESPN a lot of business. But I agree with you. Is Iowa State football, do we have to, in these next 2 to 3 years, do we have to get to 6 wins, 7 wins, 8 wins, 9 wins to be able to get into that league? Or do you think that we are just going to get in there because of all of our athletics, our how many people we have come to games, or is it
basketball?
Just going to be basketball by far, or are we going to get left out?
Hard to say, right? I don't know. As an ISU fan, I want to say for sure we get brought in, but I don't know how they draw those criteria, right? What if it's maybe not even a top 30 like everybody suspects? What if it's a top 20? There's really no way to know. I really hate that it's gone that way for athletics. I think as college football loses some of that regionality, right, we all think it's a national sport, but the NFL is truly a national sport.
Yes.
And I think along the way, college football is going to hurt itself by going down this path. I understand, right? It's all about money, and that kind of came out during the pandemic and shouldn't surprise us anymore. But it'll probably be better for the rest of the sports long term, right, to have college football do its own silly thing and the rest of those sports kind of play on their own. But in the meantime, I think it's going to change the sport probably negatively, but who knows? Will I be thinking about that Saturday while I'm basking in football? Probably not.
Yes, yes, I'm right there with you. Just to go off football for a second, I wanted to get your thought and your expectations of Iowa State men and women's basketball teams. A different type of year last year. I'm not saying it was a bad year, but a different type of year. Both have almost redone their rosters. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they're both going to be in very different spots, right? The women will kind of be where, you know, in a slightly similar spot, right? A lot of young players, a lot of promise, some very good recruits, right? Small American type recruits. But with what they lost in the portal, it'll be a struggle. I think they're probably NCAA tournament-esque. They should be around that level with the talent that is still on that roster. But it will really be a fun year to watch those new players grow and see how they fit in. Still one that's going to be entertaining and is definitely going to have my support and my attention. That's probably a fairly comfortable spot to be in, quite frankly, right? Not sky-high expectations, room to grow and work and work these young players in. The men are in a bit different spot, right, Steve? They bring back some decent production, but they got really aggressive in the transfer portal and bring in, a top 10 recruiting class. So yeah. There will be some pressure on them I'm not going to say make this Final Four or anything, but they should be a tournament team. They should be a good basketball team, excuse me. So it'll be exciting to watch, and there's going to be ups and downs. It's still, by and large, a team with a lot of newcomers, but I will be surprised if they're not a preseason top 25 team. I fully expect them to finish top half in the Big 12. That doesn't seem like an unreasonable expectation.
And you're going to see something that this is really going to be a team that's going to score a lot of points off of their defense, because I think they're going to be hard to score on because they are lengthy, they are athletic, they are in your face, and I'm happy because just a little inside information that's out there. Taman Lipsey, not only is he a better shooter than he was, but he wants to shoot the ball. And if he does that, that changes that team.
Absolutely. He did what he was asked to, and last season he was not asked to score or shoot or work on his shot. And obviously, clearly that has changed. The coaching staff has changed the priorities there. I'm excited to see what he looks like. I've heard great things about his offseason as well.
All right, I have a very important question. Ames Lager, is it? Can you crush it? Is it a sipper? Is it a novelty? What is your grade of Ames Lager?
Now we're in my wheelhouse. You can crush it. It's fabulous, delicious. It's got a little bit more flavor if you are more of a craft beer, not a lager person. They did a great job. The can's beautiful. It's still hard to find here in Ames. I think it's still hard to find across a lot of the state. I think that's a testament to the fact that it does taste good, right? Because if you're going to do something like this, it won't stick around if people don't like it. And I think clearly people do, which is good news.
The We Will Collective is rocking. Do you believe that?
Doing well.
Yes.
Yeah. I think other schools clearly have more money than us, and they're clearly a ways ahead of us. But if you're looking for, what's the bar that you measure against? Is it an SEC school? I don't think that's realistic. So I would say for what Iowa State has to work with, they've exceeded my expectations to date, and all they need to do is enough, right? We're never going to use it to lure players in, use it to keep what we want and who we like here.
When you take a look, and this is one of the fun things with Jamie and the athletic department and all the coaches, there's a lot of other places that are always worrying about their coaches leaving. I think that's the one thing that I enjoy most in this state, and with Iowa, with Iowa State, with you and I, with Drake, with all of those, their administrations have hired coaches that everybody respects and they're just not willing to leave willy-nilly to go to another job. What do you think sets that up?
I think it's just a good environment, right? Good atmosphere. They enjoy where they're at. They enjoy who they work with. I think people is probably one of the main things, right? And when you see continuity, a lot of times that's part of it. And also, you know, I was a nice place to live. Cedar Falls, you know, these smaller college towns across the Midwest, I think they are desirable places to live. As much fun as, you know, living in Houston, Texas is, Cedar Falls probably isn't too bad.
It's not. And this is coming from a gentleman on the phone right now who lives in the coolest little neighborhood in Ames that I just happened to scare the heck out of him and drive by and saw him walking with his girls.
Funny story about that. That was,
I'm like, Jen goes, that was Maddie Nelson. And I'm like, well, let's turn around and go say hi. So, Maddie, we're looking forward to getting to talk to you now while we're in football and basketball season. I appreciate you coming on and can't wait to see you on Saturday, my friend.
Thanks for having me back. I'm always happy to talk Cyclones. Let's make this a regular thing.
You got it, buddy.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Maddie Nelson. He's the best. I mean, he is. That's why you hit his wheelhouse. Booze and beer. and
absolutely crushable.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
And you see, he hits you even more than me because he is a grill savant as well. So
excellent.
You guys have a lot
excellent.
In common.
Well, it's going to be good to have him back.
It is. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Two more segments on this Thursday. We're not going to be here on Friday, so we got to get her done. Listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Wow. Almost thought it was Friday. It feels like a Friday because
it is Friday.
Our Friday.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at @ScottBrower_13, @SteenOnSports. @1700TheChamp and @HappyHour_SS, Facebook @1700TheChamp as well. Tonight you're going to get Florida at Utah. Huge game. Twins, Rangers, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Twins, Rays, Monday, Tuesday. UNI Panthers football at noon. Pregame, Iowa State. There's another football game that's going to be on. They are everywhere.
Listen to the voice of the Panthers.
Yes,
J.W. Cox.
They are also the Twins. If the post game goes long, then they'll join the Twins game in progress. And you have the next read.
Heritage Building Maintenance. Provide peace of mind in protecting the future of your building and its occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance, a certified partner of science-proven microbial control, provides an advanced level of janitorial and custodial services. Through data-driven research and development, customers who participate in the science-proven program can be rest assured that they are receiving state-of-the-art surface protection, making their built environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for all their occupants. If you have questions or would like to learn more about Heritage Building Maintenance and the science-proven microbial control program, feel free to reach out to one of the dedicated team members at heritagebldg.com or call 515-868-0842 today. Heritage Building Maintenance.
Okay. I wanted to bring this up because somebody has, we had talked about this and somebody has sent this to me again. And
just now?
They just sent it to me. And it's about Iowa State and about last year. And it kind of goes in with you and I as nice, right? You and I talking about Iowa State and you and I that last year, Iowa State opened the year 3-0 and appeared poised to be a contender in the Big 12. Then the Cyclones had their, lost their next four games by 7 points, 3 point, 1 point, 3 point, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Blame belonged entirely with the offense because the defense was giving up no points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was amazing. Which failed
amazing? All right.
Amazing. Amazing grace. Which failed to top 14 points seven times. If backers are a bit more comfortable taking the over in Iowa State games this year, there's a path to back to Big 12 contention. And I think that I think we forget about Iowa State's offensive woes last year because Iowa's woes were even more. And
right.
That took a bigger piece of the pie, even though the University of Iowa was winning more games. But the games the games that the University of Iowa weren't scoring points in, they were not close games. I mean,
that's when everything came to a head in Iowa City as well. They were losing some games more than that was expected, and then it was, where does the finger of blame go?
Right, we have to blame
is
somewhere.
It Brian? Is it Kirk? Is it where are we going with this? They recovered nicely at the end of the season.
They did.
But the losses they had were consecutive, and that's where the edge of the cliff came into.
And it hurt. And this is the part about Iowa State, and a lot of people said the offense, and they did struggle. But our special teams was not good, and that was a part of the whole circle.
Yes.
There's nobody helping this group. Or doing it full time,
focused
solely on that group.
Where we're playing all these other teams that have somebody focused.
Yeah,
was something else you said multiple times as we would come in here after a close loss. That it was we had them against the ropes, and then somebody with a headset, I won't say a name, melted down on the sideline.
Yeah,
was not acting like a head coach.
He wasn't doing his normal thing because he was feeling the pressure. He was feeling the pressure of knowing that here's his best friend,
yes,
and he's the offensive coordinator, and we're not clicking. And I'm trying to help him to get us out of this, and so now I'm even taking less away from the special teams because Matt Campbell could have done special teams, you know, but he was worried about his guy.
Yeah, I know.
And now – you can, if you listen to John Walters or you see some of the tea leaves that are out there, everybody has their own thing. Everybody knows what they have to do. Everybody has their own grouping. And everybody in the groups, for the first time, I think, in a couple of years, knows where they're at in the depth chart or the hierarchy. You know, the quarterbacks understand. These two quarterbacks are young. One's a redshirt freshman and the other one
is a true freshman.
They understand that they're probably going to have a bad quarter or a bad half, but that they can have a great quarter and a great half. And it's Coach Neal's job is to get them combined into having four good quarters. Because I think if the quarterbacks can perform at a level of, I'm not asking them because I think we can move the ball. I'm not asking them to be great. I'm just asking them when they get past the 50-yard line, that they understand what they have to do. As soon as we get past there, have to put points on the board.
Right, but that also gets to the play calling, that gets to the coaching, that
absolutely.
Gets to the, here's the deal, I don't need you to walk on water, I need you not to make a mistake.
Yep.
If I tell you to throw it 7 yards, you go, if you can't get it here, you go to your two, go to your three or whatever, but don't give it up, don't turn it over, right. Don't force it.
And just because I said that's the play, if he's not open.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, don't
If you're one, two, and three aren't open, don't try to force it. Don't make a mistake. Because it's don't make the mistake trying to make magic. It's the defense is good. The defense will do what they need to do. Yep. Move the ball, but don't make mistakes.
And my thought process was always with Hunter Deckers was in the first couple of games, even though they won, it's like, well, you didn't give your guys long enough to work themselves open, and you just took off running. And then towards the end of the year, when we were looking for him to take off running,
he'd been looking around.
He'd been told so many times to stop taking off running that he just stopped doing it. And I felt sorry for him. And it's... The difficult thing is it's college football, and I think we forget because it's so big now. These kids don't have a whole year every year and have meetings and do all that professional football players do. They have like, what do we have, 12 games. So you have 12 weeks plus 6 more weeks. You have 18 weeks out of 52 weeks that you're concentrating on football. But we expect our college athletes to play football like professional athletes, whose job it is to be a football
player. Because
the
amount of money that's being...
Right, but not money that they're making, though. And that's the thing. You can't expect these guys...
Right, I know.
...to
I,
be...
I, but it's... But look, We are fans. What is fans short for?
Fanatical.
Fanatical. So it is, I will wear these colors. I will, they will not bleed, all these different things. So we want these guys to, I cannot believe you are not as passionate as I am and you are on the team. You know, I mean, it's you don't even act like you care. Oh, good God, this is their life. Yes, yes, they are students. They are trying to, because not every one of these guys is going to be Mr. Irrelevant and end up being an NFL quarterback. These, we know a lot of former athletes that this was what it was. They got an education because they had ability to play a sport, and now they've taken that and they've parlayed into really wonderful lives. They're not athletes anymore.
No.
But I mean, it's to see what they go through. I mean, even your son played, my son played. I mean, to see what they go through of, you know, Brandon's coaching right now, plus school started, plus baseball. I mean, all these different things that the spinning plates in their lives, for Pete's sakes, to go to the level of what these guys and the money that's involved being Division I football players.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's daunting.
It is. And, you know, I think my youngest said this perfectly. You know what? Actually having a job. All of us always think we're in college, it's the best time of our lives. Actually having a job gives you purpose, but it's a singular purpose.
Right.
And you gain something from it. In college, even as an athlete, even as a student, you know, oh my gosh, I passed this class. That's awesome. I got a really good grade. What's next? Oh, I got to take another one.
Right.
And another one. And it never builds on that. He comes home now, like last night, man, I'm tired. Man, did I have a great day. It was a great day, you know, and that's the part we all do. And when we go there, we forget that. I'm one of the worst, and I'm much better than I used to be. And my thought process with Matt Campbell last year was he was so distraught in a relationship with his buddy and not having other things that he lost all focus. And you haven't heard one thing like that this year. He actually is being focused on what he's always said. I want to get the best out of these young men. I want them to be the best of themselves.
Well,
and if they can do that and I can do that, then we're going to be good.
If that's, show me on the field.
Right.
If we get back to that, where we all fell in love with who is this? Matt Campbell is the dude. He's these, all these different things, and he's the leader, and he's the tip of the spear that is going to make boys into men and change their, I mean, all these different things. I mean, the day we saw senior day when, what was it, Kohler and Purdy and all these guys, I mean, they're balling
absolutely
as they're leaving on their last day, because
Mike Rose.
It was life changing to be a part of Matt Campbell's team. I want to see that again.
Yep. Rory Walling.
Yeah.
You know, of those kids. And you can say the same thing. And here's one thing for the Iowa Hawkeyes that I wish that Beth Getz could have done. And I don't think that she probably has the power to do it quite yet. I wish she'd have taken away the whole Brian Ferentz thing and just said, you know what, we're going to play football. I trust my coaches. I've been here. I trust them. Because I don't want Kirk Ferentz to have to sit in front of that and have to explain. And the really bad thing about that is, And you know this as much as I do because of the way he coached, the way Hayden Fry coached, and all those guys. He doesn't care how many points they score.
No.
He cares about being 1 point better than who he's playing. And it's just added pressure on him. And you could see it last year that it was added pressure. Now, he's putting on a good face right now because deep down inside, in the back of his head, he's thinking, man, I got a 40-plus point scoring team here. Now we just got to make it happen.
But you hear what he said the other day in one of those interviews that are going through. It was, he honestly goes, I'm probably going to get fired for this. This is Kurt, you know, Coach Ferentz. I'm probably going to get fired for this, but my favorite game was, what was it, the 9-6 game?
Yeah, that was a UNI game, right? Over that, yeah.
No, I don't think it was that. But it was one of the lowest scoring, you know, games it was. But he goes, it was a controlled game. It was my kind of game. I mean, and that's, I'm like. But he's 100% right.
Yes, that's what he is. And it put him in a position.
3-0, 6-3, 9-6 is a victory when he's, and it's a controlled pace game. He does not want to have a 42-38 game.
No, he does not. And here's the other thing he doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to be seen on the sidelines yelling at his son. I mean, you just don't, because guess what? if he goes over there and he takes his headset off and he's talking to him, people read into that. And then the story is, I mean, they could have been talking about.
And my parents would be coming down and whooping some milk.
I can't believe that you had a sausage McMuffin. They could be talking about anything.
Right, exactly.
Because he's that type of guy. I felt bad for Kirk Ferentz last year. I felt bad enough to where if I'd have been him, but I think that once the transfer portal, which he's not a fan of, but he needed to be a fan of, once he got Cade McNamara, the tight end from Michigan as well, he's like, okay, I can breathe a little bit here because I understand what we're going to do, because I know what they're going to do on the other side of the ball. And here's the toughest thing in the world for that Iowa defense and the punter and the kicker is to perform at the same level that you did last year this year. That's going to be hard to do because teams are better.
Right.
Their schedule's better for them, but that's a lot of pressure to put on your defense. And I'm hoping that Cade McNamara comes out and does. If Iowa and Iowa State are both fun to watch on the football field, it's a better state for all of us, because it's way better for radio, because I would rather be talking about good things than bad things.
And I hate to be this guy because we've been talking about it. It's just this little tiny dark cloud of the word soft tissue. He's medically released, but he's not 100%. All these different things.
You want to know how Iowa's not winning 10 games this year? If he's not your quarterback,
that's what I'm saying. It's just teetering, and the discussion about does he, should he, would he? What if he doesn't? Does he need to get a touchdown to make field? I mean, all these different things. I am going to take a breath at the end of Saturday. I am going to say that.
Too. And then we go right back
good,
in it.
Yeah, I was going to say good, right better, in, right good, better, Ames. And different. We'll know step one, and then next week with the Seahawks series. Wow,
which is and you hope, and I hope that they're both wins, and you're looking forward to wow. I want to see how these two match up. I want to see how.
You're hoping that both of them are simple wins and neither team showed anything.
I'm I'm afraid for T and I's health systems. If the game is what you think the game is going to be, that's not
Iowa
gonna be
wins by a field goal,
or Iowa wins by a field goal, or
excuse
Iowa
me,
State,
Iowa State wins by a field goal. Oh no. I'm if it goes like it's supposed to, the bigger win is going to be Iowa over Utah State.
Yep.
Maybe I'm feeling a little bit of what J.W. Cox, the voice of the UNI Panthers, is feeding me, but Theo Day is going to be interesting.
Yep.
He's an NFL caliber quarterback. Let's see what he does.
I'll give you a Theo Day quote that I saw today. Not him quoting, but somebody else quoting. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We have one more segment for the rest of the week.
If that was his quote, that was
we'll
great.
We'll be right back. The week, because we were off on Friday and we are off on Monday for the holidays. Hope everybody has a great holiday. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Guess what?
What?
It's going to get hot.
It is going to get hot again. We had a couple of tea times thinking, man, the weather's going to be nice. Well, Monday's tea time is early. It's like at 9 o'clock in the morning. But, yeah, our Saturday one's like 4:30. That could be a little too steep.
Ooh.
But not as bad. It'll get cooler.
We're not going to go into.
The humidity's not what
right.
it was.
We're not going into the extreme heat warnings that we right. were. But still, it's going to be good old-fashioned
Like it used to be when corn was growing around
exactly.
us. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700thechamp, at happyhour_SS, at scottbrower_13, and at Steen on Sports. Facebook as well at 1700thechamp. Florida, Utah tonight. We're going to talk about that game here in just a second. Minnesota Twins and the Rangers Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and next Monday, Tuesday, Twins, Rays, and the UNI Panthers. We're home of the UNI Panthers. Director of Broadcasting, the voice of the UNI Panthers, J.W. Cox, will go on air at 12 o'clock on Saturday. I have the read. It's Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides, designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and find out more about an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Okay, you got the floor, my friend.
Let me throw some numbers out for you for a former Iowa Hawkeye tight end.
Big numbers.
Big numbers. 4-year contract extension will pay him at least $66 million up to $68.5 million. Okay. Average value of the deal, $17.125 million. And Hockenson will make, TJ Hockenson, that is, will make a $42.5 million guarantee.
Not bad. Not bad if you can get it.
Wow. That's funny. I mean, that
and he gets a lot of that money up front right now.
Right. And I mean, and it was interesting because you and I went down the same path. It was, would he have got that kind of money if he would have stayed in Detroit? Because it was midseason last year. He went from Detroit to Minnesota. He seemed to elevate up himself when he got to Minnesota.
Right.
Became a favorite target of Kirk Cousins.
Different quarterback.
Obviously. Different quarterback.
Short passing.
But then again, we also agreed on the same thing, that Detroit seemed to blossom without him.
Right. Because it opened up the field, and they like to throw the ball deeper down the field. That wasn't his forte. And we both agreed that not what we expected. I expected Noah Fant to be the better NFL player because of his athletic ability. But Noah Fant, not even close to being as good a blocker as TJ Hockenson, which really helps TJ Hockenson in that Minnesota offense as well.
Well, and it's interesting to think of how the pieces of the puzzle have come together, that for them to say that he quickly became one of the favorite target outlet were those offenses that use a tight end as they do, that it becomes the 1-2, you're always there, you're my outlet. Whether it's Kelce, whether it was Gronk and the stuff like that, it was your outlet guy that became. He is in that type of thing. Whereas with Fant out in Seattle, it's not, whether it's the connection as buddies in the locker room doesn't feel it there or whatever it is.
Or Geno's just not a guy that goes off of, once he's off of one read, he's going to his two wide receivers and throwing the ball
because,
instead of going and looking for him.
What was the name you dropped for
DK Metcalf.
DK, exactly. I mean,
he's looking for that.
Where it's that's going to be my outlet opposed to, but it is. It's just different how the pieces fall together. But to see those numbers and to hear that is,
it's awesome.
That is, it's
two of the
highest
paid are him and Kittles, both Iowa tight ends. So good job.
It's TJ has set the bar because, I mean, right now he is the highest with the, and so everybody's going to go, let's see, I have a ring or two. Let's do my contract now.
Yes.
So, But that's good stuff to see. Again, back to what we talk about. Linemen and tight ends come out of Iowa.
They do. That's what they do.
All right. So now we're going to dive into, I've put a star next to some games. I will give you the spread. You tell me if you're going to, whether they cover it, however you want to play it. But we've got a few games here starting tonight. Let's talk about the Florida Gators and the Utah Utes.
What a game.
The Utes are favored by 5. Points, 44.5. Are you going to go and tell me? I don't think you're worried about the points. I think you're going to tell me if the Utes are going to cover the 5 points.
I'm going to take the Utes to cover the 5 points because I don't think Florida plays very well on the road. I think Florida may be a more talented team. Utah definitely. Here's the man, that's tough though because they don't have their quarterback. Wow. You know what? I'm changing that. I'm going to take Florida in the points. I forgot that they didn't have their quarterback.
You can ask my guys at work. I am taking Florida in the points.
Yep. Now, I also could see Florida come and lay an egg because they're not playing at home. They're not a good road team. But I'm taking Florida just because of the quarterback.
All right, next one, Nebraska and Minnesota. I think we already talked about this one. You're going Minnesota because it's and trust me, I've looked at some things again. Just kind of shaking my head of what we're going to be seeing.
What are they minus?
Oh, Minnesota's a 7.5-point favorite.
Yep.
So reading through one of them that I saw, it is the article is so much improvement. Matt Rhule's doing great, all these different things, but ultimately it goes, that's a stout defense. Give me the Gophers home. Minnesota 27, Nebraska 17.
I could see that.
Okay. That was the one article I read. I think give me Nebraska in the points.
So you agree on the Florida as well.
Yep.
But you're going to take Nebraska.
And you're taking Minnesota. Yep. You just think it's they're more of a balanced team. They're more together.
It's at home.
Okay.
That's tough.
It's at Minnesota.
Yep.
Next one that kind of caught my eye, the spread is going to be 16.5 points. It is the Miami of Ohio Redhawks and the Miami Hurricanes. The Hurricanes are favored by 16.5. Are they going to cover that 16.5?
It's going to be really interesting. The Iowa State Cyclone in me hopes they cover the 16.5.
Right.
Because we play them in 2 weeks after that. That's because we go to Miami of Ohio.
Right.
I think Miami covers that pretty easy.
Yep. Actually. I'm going to take Miami covering the points as well.
But I'm looking forward to seeing that game to see what Miami of Ohio, how good they are. And I do believe that they still have I think they're still a Nank that's at Miami of Ohio.
I was going to say, they sent a couple of them over there. Yeah.
All three of them, I think.
Oh, that's right. That is true. Yeah. The Nank boys, yes. I remember I know Brandon played on with
Charlie
on some basketball teams.
Yep.
And to look at Mama Nank and Greg and go, oh, my Lord, your food bill. Those are some big boys.
I can imagine. That was awesome.
I mean.
And the grandkids now are the same.
Yep.
Oof.
Good stuff. All right, this next one was kind of one that I went to go with because I want to hear your 2 cents on this one. I'm going to go with, and this is Friday night, and it's a 10 o'clock game. Okay, because it is Stanford versus Hawaii.
Wow.
Stanford is a 3.5-point favorite. Isn't it kind of the running, isn't this is Hawaii's game? I mean, I'm pretty sure it's in Hawaii, obviously with 10 o'clock start time. But where do you go? Is Stanford going to cover that 3.5 or?
I'm taking Hawaii.
Thank you. So am I. I'm taking them. Taking them to win outright. All right, some fun ones to look at. I have I've tried to give it the benefit of the doubt. I've tried to ride the wave. The Deion Sanders is going to change the rotation of the world. We've got the Colorado Buffaloes against the TCU Horned Frogs. The Horned Frogs are 20.5-point favorites. I think they are going to.
Are they at home? TCU at home? Where are they playing?
It does not say on my deal. I'd have to look again, but I don't think it matters, dude. I think TCU is going to at least 21 points, if not more than that. I think the things you are hearing out of Colorado, you don't change 70% of the team. He's having health issues. He's
I mean, it wasn't even 70% of the team. It was like 98%.
But still, there isn't cohesiveness in Colorado yet. So I am definitely going to say right. TCU to cover.
I'm going to take Colorado then.
All right. Good job out of you.
Got
time for one more. Obviously, that last one is going to be the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Utah State Aggies. It is a 24-point spread for Iowa.
I'm going to take Iowa. I have to.
To cover the 24?
Yeah, which is incredible. He has a clause in his contract to score 25, and they're a 24-point favorite.
Well, if you'd like to know, I spent a little time on DraftKings today, and I said they're going to cover the 24 as well.
Okay.
I believe in Brian.
Okay, so do one more. Do Iowa State, you and I. We have to do it quickly. That,
I can't.
Oh, because no
line. It's not on mine, but from last I heard, it was 9.5 points.
I'm taking ISU. And I'll take the 9.5.
And they are going to cover the 9.5. That's going to be 2 touchdowns. Iowa State.
There you go. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Scott and I appreciate you coming in. We enjoy doing this. I hope you enjoy listening. We will not be here on Friday. We will not be here on Monday. But, man, are we going to have a ton to talk about on Tuesday. Why? Cyclone Hawkeye Week. Come on. See you then.